And thank you, worship team. Thank you for leading us into worship. As you know, on Sunday, we come to church to worship God, not to listen to God, not to follow God, but to worship Him. We follow Him every day. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for allowing us to be with Him so we can really understand God's Word. Today, this message is going to be careful how you hear. If you have your Bible, it's in Luke chapter 8. But Pastor Matt and I were talking about the sermon today, and then somehow the topic came up is when he taught high school, the listening span and attention span of the kids were like 4 or 5 minutes. So I was thinking, oh, 4 or 5 minutes, then what am I going to do with the message? Because mine is like 35. I'm going to lose every one of you. Then I went on the internet and searched. Something really amazing happened. This is a goldfish, right? Everybody knows what it is. You know, when you go to the fish tank, the goldfish will come and look at you, right? Probably they're hungry, or maybe they like you. I mean, for me, I know they are hungry. You know the average attention span of a goldfish? I need help. Average attention span. How many? 4 seconds? You're so kind. 7 seconds or 7 minutes? Well, my research told me that it was 9 seconds. Okay? Average. So maybe your fish. I'm sorry? This has been proven wrong? Okay, I'm just thinking it for average, okay? Let's stick with 9. Okay, good. We can talk about it and show me your source and then later. So, because... good, someone is listening. That's very good. In 2015, Microsoft, you know who is Microsoft, right? Everybody use Apple. I don't know anybody still using Microsoft products. Microsoft did a research on human attention span. So the report said, okay, it's really amazing. You know what's the average attention span of a human? 8 seconds. Wow, you guys are good. 8 seconds. Your attention span, I mean, my average attention span is less than, in average, is less than the goldfish in my home. So, I've been speaking for 2 minutes already, so I'm sure some already has been lost. I'm sure someone is lost. I mean, not connected with me already. So, hey guys, come back. This is a message you need to listen because it's about Jesus. Jesus says you need to hear. It's not what I said. I'm just following the book, the scripture. And a lot of people say, I pray, but God never talked to me. You serious? I mean, God loves you. He really loves you. He really loves you and me. He put all His words in here. You need to listen. You really want to listen, we need to go back to His words and read and meditate. If God never talks to you, it's because you haven't spent enough time with Him in His words. I'm guilty of that too. I mean, I'm not any holier than any of you. I'm just another sinful human being who get accepted by Christ because He shed His blood for me, and now I am adopted son of God. Today is about listen. So, guys, I really need you to listen because this is what Jesus said, not what I said. He just put the words in my mouth, and hopefully I can pronounce it right so everybody can listen and know really what He is talking about. So, I ask you to close your eye and really listen to today's message. The passage is only 3 verses. So, you all close your eye and really, really, really hear and listen. Close your eye, don't read, don't cheat. Today's message is from Luke chapter 8. Verses 16 to 18. Luke 8:16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed. but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Let's bow our head. Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for gathering us here so we can listen to your word and study your word and hear your word. We know you want to speak to us. Allow us to have a humble heart. Allow us to have a teachable heart. Allow us to have a learnable heart so we can really listen and follow just like Jesus has commanded us. Father, we ask you to be here. We ask for the presence of the Spirit, and may you use me to speak your words with love, because your words are living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Father, we ask for your presence. Will you illuminate us through your message so we can continue to follow you and follow Christ? Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those I know you really listen, I mean, you guys are smart. I know everybody is. I mean, what did Pastor Matt talk about last week? Uh-oh. Okay, what's Pastor Matt? Okay. Victoria, yes. The parable of the sower. Okay, so what is it about? The sower, and okay, about the seeds, right? And what are the seeds? The seeds are a seed. You don't have to answer everything, okay? I know. It's the word of God. Very good. And then Pastor Matt also talked about another thing. He talks about me because he saw my stomach here and he told me I was fat. What does the fat mean? I'm responsible for my fatness. I'm responsible for being faithful, available, and teachable. Very good. So you all listen. Okay, keep it on. I mean, I need you to stay with me. I mean, okay. So let's look at the passage. Oh, sorry. 16 and 17, we do it together. We do it fast. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. I mean, it's so simple. Everybody understands, right? When you light a lamp, I mean, you leave it on, and then that's why I don't fall when I go into the room when it was dark. I mean, what's the purpose of keeping the light on besides for me to see? I mean, Luke said it very specifically. The purpose of keeping the lights on is for those who enter may see the light. Because Luke is actually talking about Jesus teaching his disciples. Okay, we just finished the parable of the sower and the seed. And now Jesus gave us another parable. I mean, come on, Jesus. You need to explain what's this parable. I mean, last time you explained that what's the sower, what's the seed. The seed is the word of God and a different soil. So what is this light? What is this jar? Why do we need to keep it on? He said, for those who enter may see the light. So when we're in a room like this, I mean, imagine. Imagine this is all dark outside, but this sanctuary is lighted. So people want to come in, right? They see the lights, they can come in. So when they come in, they don't trip, and we can see. If we keep the light on, we don't bump into each other, right? So we won't kill each other accidentally. But for those who enter may see the light. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And according to Mark, he is only talking to his inner 12. So it doesn't matter, but he is talking to the believers. So he is telling the believers to keep the light on. So for those who enter may see the light. So when you enter a light room, that means the outside is dark. Jesus is telling his disciples to keep the light on so the people in the darkness can come into the room that is lit to see the light. So who are those people in the darkness? I was once one of them in the darkness until 5 years ago. I see the light. I mean, God is grateful. Grace, I mean, he waited for me all this time. He's so patient. I finally become a believer in 2015. Whoops, am I losing you already? Don't fall asleep. But, so as a believer, how do you keep your lights on? How do you keep your lights on? I need help here now. How do you keep your lights on when you are a believer? How do you keep your light on? Turn on. Yeah. How do you keep your lights on? As a believer, how do you walk in light? How? Yes? Stay close to God's word. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay, good. Thank you. Very good. Anyone else? How about this? You really walk in the light? I love to. I'm walking in the limelight. It's limelight. When you walk in the limelight, when you go to the red carpet, you'll get blinding lights on you. When you walk on the stage, that's what you'll get. But walking in the light with Jesus is not like walking in the limelight as in the world. Walking in the light is not doing what you should do or what you shouldn't do. It's not only about following the Ten Commandments or the 613 Commandments or all the words of Jesus. Nobody can. I can't. Only Jesus can. That's why Jesus came and he paid for all of us by his blood. It's not about not smoking, not vaping. Yes, it will help. You'll be blessed if you don't smoke, don't vape. And keep pure. No matter you are married or unmarried, or about to marry, keep yourself pure. It helps. You'll be blessed, more blessed. Or are you talking about just having a beautiful, holy life? It's more than that. Because doing all those will be helpful, but it works, then Jesus doesn't have to come to save us. If we can follow all the rules, then Jesus doesn't have to come. God knows we are not perfect, and we need the blood of Jesus to save us. So walking in the light as a Christian or as a believer, it's just like John 3:19 said, the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their work were evil. People love to walk in the dark. It's so easy to follow the world. I mean, it'll be so easy to follow the world because if I don't follow them, I don't have any more friends. I don't want to be the only one who are in high school by myself because I'm a loner, I'm an introvert. I don't have many friends, but I try to reach out. But do I adapt to them or do I stay firm as a believer and do what Jesus said? Think about it. Then John said 11:10, if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not on him. If you walk in the dark, you're going to fall. I mean, one day you guys, I know you guys are young, you don't have to get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom. I do. Once or twice, I mean, okay. So I need to flip on the light. I don't want to fall, I don't want to stumble, I don't want to, hurt my pinky. I need the light. I need to walk in the light. So what does it really mean to walk in the light as a believer? 1 John 1, 5 and 6 said, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we are believer and we have fellowship with God and we know God and we don't walk in light and still walking in the darkness, then we are lying. Uh-oh, is that good? We just break another commandment. I lied. Be a light as a believer is to go and proclaim Jesus Christ and to proclaim the grace of God has saved us because Jesus has come to pay it all. Because in light, which is God, because God is truth, God is light, it's all in John. 1:14, God is truth. There's no more secrets. Why? Because as a believer, a follower of Christ, we are brothers and sisters of Christ, the Son of God, he's going to tell us all the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom. We just need to listen. There are no more secrets. Paul in Ephesians said, all the walls are broken down, even Gentiles can become followers. All the mysteries are out. Even in the parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus told the disciples that the mystery is out. The mystery is the word of the kingdom. The kingdom is here, and Jesus was right in front of them. To be in light, in the light, is about confessing. It's no more secrets because all my sins have been forgiven. Why do I have to worry about being a sinner and get punished and be judged when Jesus comes again? When we are true believer, we stay in the light. Not in the limelight, but in the light of God, the light of Christ. Because all our sins are forgiven. We can go to him and confess our sins. We can even confess our sins to one another to keep each other accountable. I have another group at school with about five other gentlemen. Out of five, two are struggling with pornography. We all struggle with different things. But we confess to each other. Because why? We need to keep each other accountable. So we can grow in God. We can get rid of all those unwanted behavior. It's just like Paul has said in Romans 7. He keeps doing the things that he doesn't want to do. Even though we don't want to do it, sometimes we want to stay away from pornography. Sometimes we want to stay away from lying. I'm doing bad things which is not pleasing to God, but we don't have the power to do it. We need to depend on the power of the Spirit, right? But also by keeping each other accountable, we encourage each other to grow. So when we are down, we can really reach out to each other. So by staying with each other, that reminds me of one person in the Old Testament. He's a prophet. So you got to help me again. Victoria, you can raise 5 seconds before you, raise your hand. Who is the prophet who gets sent out to preach the gospel to another country besides Israel? Jonah, right? Jonah. Is he a good guy or a bad guy? Huh? Yes? No? Can I say something? Who says yes? Jonah is good? Only 12. Jonah is bad? It's tie. Come on, guys, you need to make a decision. I mean, is either good or bad? I mean, not that hard to tell. When God calls on him, he runs away. God tells him to go to east, which is Nineveh, which is 500 miles from his hometown, Gath-Hepher. Instead, where did he go? He tried to go. He tried to go west, which is 2,500 miles away. Did he succeed? No. But what do you think about Jonah? I mean, he doesn't listen to God. Do you think he is kind of self-absorbed? Do you think he's kind of self-righteous? Do you think he can win over God? Do you think he's prideful? So Matthew, do you think he's prideful? Okay. good try. But God sent him to preach the gospel to the Ninevites, and he doesn't want to do it. Why? Because he knows God is going to save them. And he doesn't want to save the Ninevites because the Ninevites are bad people. And they're infamous for their cruelty against the Israel and the Judah. I mean, but he got to learn. So Nathan, what did he learn? Do you know? Can you help me with that? Good answer. No, not quite. It's almost good, almost good. Volunteer? Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. But he doesn't want to save the Ninevites because they're really bad and they're going to destroy the nation of Israel and Judah. I mean, actually, they did it like 30, 40 years later in 722 BC. Assyrian came back and wiped up, Judah and Israel, and that's why they have Samaria. But before we do that, let's go to Jonah 4:2. Before we do that, when he pray, he really knows God. When he pray about God. You know why? Let me backtrack a little bit. In Exodus 34, 6 and 7, this is how God described himself. In Exodus 34, 6 and 7, oops. Yeah, you're right. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. He knows God is gracious, is merciful. He's going to save everybody. He knows God is going to save the Ninevites, even though they're bad. I mean, God saved me. I mean, I ran away for 55 years, and he just waited patiently. He still come and get me. I mean, you're right. One way or another, he's going to get me. One way or another, he's going to get you. I don't know how. Maybe he already got you already. I mean, for some, most of you, you're already gotten by God. Then this is how Jonah prayed in chapter 4. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. He really knows God because he read the Bible, he read the words, and he memorized it. He knows what God is. He knows who God is. He knows how God behaves. God is merciful and gracious and has steadfast love, abounding, overly abundant. He has so much. So God can save anybody, even the bad. And actually, God is going to use the Ninevites to punish the Israelites for 30, 40 years later. But God is good. Do we really know God? Do we really know His word? I said, well, I don't know God because He is invisible. I cannot see Him. If I don't see Him, how can I know Him? Look at Jonah. He knows God by reading His words, by studying His words, by meditating His words. That's why he knows God. Even in his prayer, he told God the reason he's not going because he knew God is going to save them. Doesn't mean he is right in doing that, but at least he knows God. Do we know God? Do we know the words? I know some words, but I forgot. Just like if you ask me about last week's message, the message before last, it's all a blur to me. And I know even sometimes when I listen to the sermon, I slip away. I space travel. I think of the football game, like last week was Super Bowl Sunday, then I'll be thinking about the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm guilty of that too. But be present. Why? Because God is present here. That's why you need the present. You come to worship, right? You just don't come here to watch people worship. Are you a worshiper, watcher? Or are you a worshiper of God? You have made a public proclamation to be a follower of Christ, a children of God, and you come to be a people watcher on Sunday, on Sabbath, then you're breaking another law, another commandment. Don't do that. Listen to me. Not exactly to listen to what I'm saying. It's come and worship. Be present because God is present. You know, when you lie before God, what will happen? In Acts, those couple, they lie that they have give everything to the church. The husband lied first. He died. Then the wife came and lied, and she died. I mean, there are consequences for all our lies. I mean, I'm not saying that I haven't told a lie or didn't lie today. I'm guilty of that too. I need to confess. But try to do less, especially in the house of God, because God is present all the time, no matter where you go. You may think He's not here, but He is here. He is at home watching me also, everywhere. Don't forget about Him. Because as believers, when we walk in the light, we follow God's word, all our sins have been forgiven. Why do we have to worry about to keep hiding? We don't have to hide anymore. It's all been paid for. Romans 8, 1 to 2. Romans 8 is actually one of my favorite chapter in the Bible. Verses 1 and 2. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation when you're in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. Wow, so good. No condemnation and you are set free. We are free from what? Free from the bondage of sin. Free from the bondage of committing sin. We have the power. We can choose. We can choose not to sin. We have the power to do it. We are enabled by the Spirit. I got a terrible example to tell you. That's me. A couple years ago, I mean, well, I can blame it on my parents, on my culture. I mean, usually Asians are more humble, and I think I'm humble, so I said, I don't know much of this. I don't know this. I know that. And so one day I was talking to my daughters, and then they said, okay. I asked them, what do you think? Do you think Daddy is humble? Because I saw a lot of people, they all say I'm humble, and I think I'm humble too. You know what my younger one said? Daddy! There's no one who is humble who say he is humble. I'm guilty of that already. I'm not being humble. I mean, Jesus, wow. That is a wake-up call, but I didn't listen. The bad thing is, last October, I did another presentation in class, and ironically, it's also on humility. So at the end, I was listening to the feedback from classmates. And then this sister is so good. I mean, she is so brave and courageous. She is so bold. George, I know you for 3 years. We have taken 4 classes together. You got to know something. If not, how can you pass? Because I keep on saying, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. Because I feel so inadequate. I feel so inadequate that, why do I keep doing that? Because it's easy. For me, it's easy. So I don't have to be responsible if I don't know. So I'm lazy, then I don't have to look it up because I don't know. I don't have to do it. If I do it wrong, I won't be responsible because I don't know it. You tell me to do it and you still trust me to do it and I do it wrong. I mean, I'll get it off real light and fast and easy. So it's my laziness. I'm actually being prideful. I hide my pride behind my false humility. That's how prideful I am. I'm sinning without knowing it. Do I listen to my daughter? No, I keep doing it. Now I'll be more careful because the Spirit has prompted me. I got to be aware of my false humility because I hide behind my pridefulness. So let's go to the next verse. 8:18. Let's read together. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Jesus said it real quick, real clear. You think you know? Maybe you don't know. If you know, it's good. Because if you hear, more will be given. It's just like the disciples. When they go and ask Jesus, Jesus will tell them all the mysteries, explain it to them. Just like when I have trouble, I go to Pastor Matt, Pastor Chu, because why? Pastors and all the teachers were all given to by God to help us grow, to help us to be saints of the church. I know saint is a big word, but this is what Paul says about we disciples. We are all saints. And all pastors, all teachers are supposed to help us to become saints, to get sanctified, to get pure. They're going to help us. If I have a question, I'll go and ask them. Then more will be given to me. If I think I know it, I don't ask. I may forget because of my age. I mean, you ask me a week from now or 2 weeks from now, I start forgetting. If I don't continue to read and continue to hear, you're going to lose it. Especially when I'm prideful, that I know I don't have to read anymore because I know the Bible. I read it 3 times this year already, even though it's only in February, because you guys can read so fast. You think you know it? Maybe you don't. Sometimes when you read too fast, you know, I didn't get it. So we got to spend time and meditate on the words, not just reading it, but also when you pray and meditate on the words, listen to the Spirit is prompting you. Listen to the Spirit illumination. You got to be careful with listening. I remember when Jeannie and I was dating. I'm not recommending those who are below 18 to start dating or encouraging anything. It's just a good reminder is when I start dating Jeannie. I mean, at first when we met, I mean, we were like a man from Mars and a woman from Venus. We don't talk. And then one day, I mean, her brother was having a party at home, and then I was there, and then they asked me to pretend to be now my wife's boyfriend, Jeannie's boyfriend, because they know some guys who will be coming here that they really don't like them to associate with Jeannie, so they asked me to pretend to be her boyfriend for that day. And that day, Mars and Venus become to soften up. We start to talk, and then 3 months later, I proposed to her and asked her to marry me. I mean, and 1 month later, we were married. I was still married when I mean, I'm 21. I mean, that's why I've been married for 30-something years. Don't ask. But it's about listening. I mean, I get nervous when I first ask her out. I'm okay. How should I ask? Okay, if she say maybe, well, what do I say? How should I interpret it? Is it maybe yes or maybe no or maybe tomorrow or yes is for tomorrow, today or next year? I mean, I would keep thinking. I keep meditating on the words, really. I mean, geez. I mean, who has dated? Okay, Jason, you have dated. So, I mean, when you see a girl, I mean, when she reply, I mean, you text her. Will you go with me to dinner and say, you wait for 1 hour? I check. No response. 2 hours, you wait, no response. I mean, what do you think? Oh, is she too busy? Does she not like me? And stuff. Oh, we keep thinking. We keep meditating when she replies, and then we'll keep reading at least 10, 15 times and make sure that I get it right before I respond. I don't want to make the wrong move. Same thing as God. Why do you want to make a wrong move with God if you don't really listen to Him and pay attention and spend time and listening to His words, reading His words, and meditating His words? Those are the truth. You may think you have the truth. That's not what Jesus said. If you think you have it, you may lose it. Be careful. And that's how Jeannie and I stayed. I mean, those are, I mean, tremendous moments. It's just like me and God now in the morning. I mean, it's so sweet. I have my coffee and I have God in my hand, God's word. And start reading. And He keeps talking to me. I mean, sometimes I don't understand. Sometimes I may never understand. I mean, there's really some things that are hard to understand. That's what Peter said, not what I said. Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 3:16, even Peter, the apostle, the cornerstone of the church, said some of the words that Paul said are difficult to understand. You may not get it today, tomorrow, next year, who knows? Wait for God. He will prompt you. He will use the Spirit to prompt you. In Luke 8, it said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I guess everybody has ears here, I mean. So you better listen. If you have ears, then you listen. I mean, later on, I mean, right after the parable, it says, 8:21, Jesus says, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Not just only hear, because when I hear, I may hear from this year and go from the latter year. But do it. Respond. Respond to God's word. Just like when your girlfriend or your boyfriend tried to text you, you read the message, you need to respond, right? Or you just keep it hanging for 2 days. That's why you guys always check on the phone, right? Because I know somebody is about to go to call you. But you know what? When you come to a house of God and worship, one thing, you may receive a lot of calls and text messages, but God is not going to text you right now. Real fast. This is what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:13-14. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action." After listening, prepare your minds for action. Do it. "And being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that we brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed." Listen. Do not be conformed to what? "The passions of your former ignorance." Now you have the light. You are the Son of God. You know. You have the knowledge. You have the truth. Do not pretend to be ignorant anymore. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But, Paul said in Romans 12:2, "Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Continue to discern. Renewal of your mind by reading His word, listening, and doing. A couple weeks ago, there was a big news in sport. You may not be aware of it because you're not a baseball fan. But this guy is so big. Since 1936, in the Baseball Hall of Fame, there have been 323 players inducted into the Hall of Fame of the baseball. I mean, nobody was inducted into the Hall of Fame unanimously. Not even Babe Ruth, not even Willie Mays, not even Joe DiMaggio. This guy is so good, he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. He voted by 425 members of the Baseball Writers Association of America. Unanimously, 425 people all say yes to this person. He is so good. You probably don't know him. I mean, it's okay. I'll introduce you to him. You know, he's a Yankee. I mean, anybody from New York? Probably not. We're all Texans, all Astro fans. Until Tuesday before last, what happened? I don't know. I know you don't play baseball, but you got to listen to this. Phyllis, are you good? Are you good with me? You hear what I'm saying? What? Where are you, Phyllis? Rebecca, right? Keep hearing. This is the baseball player. 425 writers inducted him in the Hall of Fame unanimously. Everybody say yes. He is the first one since 1936, almost 100 years. He's a Yankee. His name is Mariano Rivera. And the Esquire magazine called him the hammer of God. He is so good. He is gifted. He has fast cut balls. His pitch is so good. He saved many games of the Yankees. And he gave all the credit to God. He said he didn't get the fastball. He didn't ask God for it. One day, God gave it to him. He didn't ask for it. He thanked God for everything. You might think, oh, okay, he did such good, so he thanks God. He even thanked God when he lost the World Series in 2001. When the Yankees lost World Series in 2001, it's because of his pitch. He lost that pitch. The whole team lost. But he still praised God for it. Why? Because he said, he called out that the Yankees, because his teammate, Enrique Wilson, would have been on the flight that ended up crashing and killing everybody. So if they win, his friend, Enrique Wilson, will be on the flight, and he'll be killed. But thanks to God, they didn't win the game, he win a friend. So as a believer, we need to proclaim God all the time, no matter in good time or bad time, in glorious time. Always walk in the light. You may want to walk in the limelight of the world. It's good. You have a choice. It's just like Jeremiah said, those lights are blinding when you walk in the limelight. But when you walk in the light of God, it's all truth. It's all bright. There's no condemnation, and you are set free. That's the beauty of walking in the light. And you have a choice. You can choose to walk in the limelight and follow the world and be a follower of the world, or choose to walk in the light of God, so you'll be a leader. Because why? You'll be leading people to Christ. And you are a leader of the world. You're going to make a difference because you lead people to Christ. And that's the will of God. That's why Christ come to earth. Let's bow our head. Father, Lord, we thank you for this message. Thank you for allowing us to have ears so we can hear. Thank you for giving us heart so we can really remind your words in our hearts and do it and respond. Give us a sober mind. Give us a humble heart so we can follow you. We know you are God, a God merciful and gracious, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Father, we thank you for your tender, loving heart. Tender, loving love. Thank you, God. Thank you for this beautiful message, and allow us to walk in your light and not in the limelight of the world, so we don't have to follow them, so we can be leaders of life and lead people to Christ and experience the freedom that we can have in Christ, because all condemnation has been gone and we are set free as the Son of God. And thank you for your presence in here. May your will be done, and we always love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.